You ready?
It's time to start.
This should be played at high volume.
That's cool.
You know what this is.
What is this?
Me, don't you remember?
Totally amazing.
I think you've got something there.
Quite understandable.
It's on the air.
Something's definitely going on here.
Take my word for it.
Now.
Come on. It's showtime.
Make it so.
Ready, go.
Hello and welcome in to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us this program, the last week of March of 2024. A very special week because on the 29th, we're going to be celebrating or commemorating Vietnam Veterans Day, a day set aside to honor all those men and women who served in Vietnam. There were 2,700,000 of them, and today we're talking about one particular Lance Corporal from Norristown, Pennsylvania.
In 1966, Star Trek premiered on the NBC TV network. A new car cost $26.50, gas was 32 cents a gallon, and America watched as the Vietnam War drug on.
And everybody's getting fat except Mama Cass.
In Washington, D.C., at the Vietnam Veterans Memorial Wall, there are 58,318 names. This is a story about one of those names, Michael Baranowski from Norristown, Pennsylvania. Michael Baranowski was a Lance Corporal with the United States Marines arriving in Vietnam in the fall of 1966. Rather than write letters, Mike thought it would be fun if he would send home audio tapes to his family, and they had exchanged the tapes during his tour in Vietnam. One of his first tapes describes the landscape in Vietnam.
The view is magnificent. And just as sinister as it is magnificent. Sinister because this is the perfect terrain, the perfect country for mortar attacks. And the VC have made use of it.
It seemed like Mike could find humor in almost anything, including his new living conditions.
Everything here, I'm going to try to keep it up in the air because everything I touch here eats through my skin or bites me or rots something. This is something else. The grass will cut you. The mud will rot your skin. This is something else.
Mike told friends when he got out of the military he'd love to be a radio announcer. And on one of his tapes, he shows a flair for comedy.
This is the 35-watt voice of station MOXE, broadcasting to you from the swamps, jungles, boondocks, and infected salad of Fort McCourt, home of the fighting 1st Platoon of Hungry Eye Company, 3rd Battalion, 3rd Marines, defensive perimeter, just north of the rock pile and just south of the demilitarized zone of Vietnam.
In one of his later tapes, Michael Baranowski, a Lance Corporal, showed that even a Marine could get a little homesick.
Everybody's anxious to get home, get back to their families and their girls. But while we're over here, we're not wasting away thinking about it. We're glad and proud. I just don't know what to say. I'm a total loss for words here. I'm looking out of our window now, a hole in the sandbag wall in the back of the hooch, looking out toward the east, out toward home, long way from home. It'll be great to hear your voices again. I can't wait to get a tape.
As Mike settled down for his tour of duty in Vietnam, he waited anxiously for that tape to come from home, and before too long it did. In this tape, you'll hear from his father first, followed by his mother, his younger sister Terry, his older sister Cookie, and his brother Sandy.
Terry, Mom, Cookie, and myself came up to Scranton. Sandy worked all day yesterday.
Hi, Mike. Trying to straighten up, get ready for Thanksgiving. And I'm starting to get Daddy's lunch or dinner ready. He eats his dinner about 12 o'clock. So when I prepare his, I prepare for the whole family.
Yesterday, Mom took me to see Mary Poppins. And that was a really good movie. I enjoyed it very much. So take care of yourself and don't do anything I wouldn't do, as everybody in school says. Bye, Terry.
Hi, Mike. It's Cookie. So I came in to say a few words of hello to brighten your day. So I'll see you, Mike.
And I appreciate you sending the money home, Mike, but I can't. It doesn't seem right for me to spend your money, so I opened an account. And I'm putting the money that you sent home to me into the bank for you when you get home. I wish that you could be home for Christmas. That'd be the greatest thing in the world.
As Mike continued to send the tapes home, he showed the good and the bad in Vietnam. including this firefight, caught on audio tape. Imagine for a moment you were Mike's mom or dad or a member of his family listening to this firsthand account of a battle raging outside his bunker.
The rest of the tape here on this side are sounds as they recorded them when they called 100% alert, which is pretty rare. Now the word's been passed to fix bayonets. It's getting too much like a 12-cent combat comic book now.
Hey, Carter? How many of you over there? Three of you? Three of you in that hole? Okay.
Now, there's all kinds of garbage going on. We don't know whether it's outgoing or incoming. No words passed down like that. The illumination is being kept up, and every once in a while, a 60-millimeter mortar mission is called out to our left front whole mountain out there. In front of us looks like a 9-acre Christmas tree. Fire. Roller Peter. High explosive. Now you can hear the illumination being kept up there. Those were heat rounds. High explosive. It's dark now. We're waiting for the illumination to go off.
That's a hairy thing. Hairy feeling. Sitting there in the dark with all that stuff going on.
Sounds of the Enchanted Forest.
Oh, Jesus. That's too close.
Airstrike.
Wipe napalm all over that place. Look at that. You're in the Pepsi generation.
Now it's dark, quiet. Everything's been quiet for about 15 minutes now. I was just crouching down in the hole there, talking to a hand grenade. I thought it was the microphone. I realized what I was doing. And the rain's just on time. Now it'll rain the rest of the night.
The audio tapes of Lance Corporal Michael Baranowski had been lost for years until his sister told one of his platoon mates, "I have the tapes." They were to become a broadcast on NPR in 2000. In that broadcast, one of Mike's fellow Marines, Tim Duffy, recalled November 29th, 1966, when he and Mike were on patrol.
He was walking point, and I was in a squad. I was carrying a radio, and I was probably five or six people back. And we were moving alongside of a Vietnamese village, and the village was deserted. And I heard one shot, which we knew was not an M14. We knew it wasn't one of ours. And then two more shots, and basically that was the end of it, and somebody shouted Mike was down. And I ran up through the fence row, and I saw Mike laying off to the side on the ground. I moved up beside him. And in my memory, he was looking at me, and so I had to run off, and we dealt with the firefight. And then they had to set up perimeter security to bring in the medevac helicopters. And so, thinking that Mike has been wounded, I'm sitting under the tree, and I'm kind of smiling to myself, good, he's gone home now. And I thought he had gotten the million-dollar wound. And I began to... kind of in my imagination, I could see myself driving across the Interstate 70, driving into Norristown. I pictured a house like I think he would live in. And I pictured myself walking up the sidewalk, and Mike sees me, and he comes running out the door in a big hug and welcome home, and let's go to New York City. That was our dream. Then the helicopters land. I look up, and I see four people, one on each ankle and wrist. Literally, they've lifted him up like a sack of potatoes. They're running across the field. His head was hanging back, bouncing across the dirt. And I started to stand up and say, that's no way to treat a wounded man. And boom. And I knew he wasn't wounded. I knew he was dead.
Michael Baranowski was just 20 years old and was killed 5 days after Thanksgiving in 1966. The Marine Corps notified his family of his death, and after the notification, the last tape arrived from Michael Baranowski from Vietnam.
Billion stars visible tonight. Beautiful. Almost every night that's clear. And now more and more nights aren't clear because the monsoon is fast coming. But those nights that are clear, almost every star that's visible with a human eye, I guess, is visible. It's a beautiful sight. Milky Way and all the constellations. Of course, they're a little bit different now that we're on the other side of the planet and looking at them from some weird cockeyed angle, I don't know. This is so much easier than writing. You get all the right voice inflections, and I can do it in the dark, of course, which is nice, except that this damn red blinker here is liable to get me zapped, so I've got my hand over it. But I'm not quite as awake as I should be when I try to tape, but just wanted to get this one off to you while I can, so that you'll have it and know that I'm thinking about you. I think about all of you and miss you so much every day. You just don't have any idea, Mom and Dad, Cookie, Sandy and Terry, how good it was to hear your voices again. It was really wonderful. That's all I can say. What else can I say? It was really great to hear you all again.
Try to remember.
The grass will cut you. The mud will rot your skin. This is something else.
Slow and oh so mellow.
Hi, Mike. Trying to straighten up, get ready for Thanksgiving.
Of September.
Everybody's anxious to get home, get back to their families and their girls.
I wish that you could be home for Christmas. That'd be the greatest thing in the world.
Look at all, Jesus. That's too close. I'm looking out of a window now, a hole in the sandbag wall in the back of the hooch, looking out toward the east, out toward home, long way from home.
You know, when I sit here and I listen to a program like this and I think about Mike Baranowski, and I think, what would he have done with his life? Would he still be with us today? Would he have been a father, a grandfather? Would he have worked in industry? Would he have changed the world? Would he have had a family? Would he have been a little league coach? And 1,000 different other things go through my mind. And he was only one of 58,000 young Americans who lost their lives in Vietnam. And we'll be talking about that more next week in a special podcast, which I entitle, Why I Can't Buy a Shirt That's Made in Vietnam. I think you'll find it's an interesting program. I hope you'll be with me. I'm Barry Papernick, more than a podcast. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next week.